to see all of you here today. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me today. And we're going to start in the Gospel of Mark, as we did last week. But this time we're going to look at a different chapter. We're going to start in Mark chapter 4. And we'll pick up in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. Now again, this is a different chapter, a different boating story. Last week we looked at the story of Jesus, and having sent the disciples away, he goes to the mountain to pray. From the mountaintop in the middle of the night, he sees the disciples in the boat in the middle of the lake, miles and miles away. And by the Spirit of the Lord, he sees them there, and he sees them struggling, and he goes to meet them and to bring things to peace, if you will. This is a little different story here. Sometime prior to that, we read in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, about another episode of Jesus and the disciples in a boat. And it tells us in verse 35, on that day, and this is after a day of teaching, Jesus has been teaching parables about the kingdom of God all day long. And then as the day comes to an end, it tells us there that, verse 35, on that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Now to me, that's an important verse of scripture. That's an important few words from Jesus. Because how many of you know today, whatever Jesus says comes to pass. If Jesus says it, it's going to happen. And Jesus tells the disciples, "Guys, let's get in the boat. We're going on to the other side of the lake." Okay? So it says in verse 36, leaving the crowd, they took him along with him in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with them. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern of the boat. He's in the back of the boat, laying on a cushion, sound asleep. Okay? Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm, peaceful, if you will. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this?" I love that. They've been following this guy for a while. They've heard his teachings. They've seen some awesome things already, very early in the ministry of Jesus. And people have been delivered from demons. People have been healed, all kinds of diseases. All kinds of things have been going on. But now even nature itself bows its knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word that he speaks. And their response is, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy that even the wind and the sea would obey him?" Let's pray together. Well, Father, the question has been asked, and our desire is that it would be answered this morning. Who are you? Who are you? Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us today. God, I know that all I can do is speak words. But I know that you can reveal yourself to hearts and lives and minds here today. And I'm asking you to do that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So again, a little different story, a little bit different circumstances, but again, it paints the picture. And for me, this story is just another one of those classic stories of Jesus that illustrates a great spiritual truth, and that is the will and desire of God for all of us to live and be at peace. Again, look what's happening in the picture here. They get in the boat. They start out across the lake. The Sea of Galilee, where they are at, by the way, is about 800 or 900 feet below sea level. There are mountains on either side. And often the wind would just begin to rush down the mountains and very quickly could whip up a storm on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee. And apparently this is what's happened after they've got out there a little ways into the boat. The waves are crashing against the boat. The wind is blowing. The boat is filling up with water. And in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all of the terror that is happening, Jesus is sound asleep. Is that not the perfect picture of being at perfect peace and rest in the midst of the storm? And it's a picture of what God wants for us as His children. In fact, Jesus will say, and we read it last week, we'll probably hit it again today, from John chapter 14, Jesus would say this. He says, "Peace I leave you," watch this, "my peace I give to you." My peace, the same peace that I have, the same peace that enabled me to go to sleep in the middle of the storm. That's the peace, Jesus says, that I want you to have. We know there's all kinds of things going on in life and going on in the world around us. And things that would steal our peace away from us. All kinds of circumstances that are happening in the world. Whether it's wars all over the world and things could break out any time, anywhere in our world these days. Pandemic. We talked about the pandemic last week. You know, the pandemic came in 2020. 2019, 2020, and typically throughout history, the pandemics would come and go, and the one that hit us in 2020 is still here, and it just mutates and keeps changing, and you know, we just keep getting infected with this stupid disease all over and over again, all of these things. Natural disaster, hurricanes, I understand there's another hurricane brewing in the Caribbean today and come into the Gulf and affect Florida yet again. So all of these things that are going on in the world and going on around us, things that can very easily rob us of the peace that God wants us to have. Personal issues that we deal with in life. Personal financial issues. The economy has been bad for a couple of years now, and prices have gone through the roof, and a lot of people are suffering because of that. But personal issues and family issues and family tragedies. We could lose a loved one. We can lose a relationship. It's just all kinds of stuff, guys, that happens in life that can cause us to lose our peace. Things will just stir us up on the inside. Things that create turmoil in our heart. Get those gastric juices just flowing and get your stomach rotten. And just all kinds of stuff that happens. We get into fear. We get into anxiety. We begin to worry. All of these things happen. And we don't even realize that all of these emotional things that we deal with, they all produce physical illnesses and ailments that we'll have to deal with later if we don't get that worry and fear under control. We're talking with some of the guys were talking before the service, and we were comparing medications. Oh, dear God, I can't believe I'm at that age. Comparing medications. Well, what do you take for high blood pressure? Well, what do you take for cholesterol? Well, what do you... You know, and there's just all this stuff that goes on in life and things that you have to deal with. And the truth of the matter is, listen, there's a lot of stuff that happens in life that you and I can't control. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes again, too. You know, we're all, many of us, and me in particular, we all have this need to control everything, control freaks, right? And the truth of the matter is, we're not controlling hardly anything. There's very little in life that we can control. In fact, you want to know something about control? What you think you're controlling is probably controlling you. Think it through for just a moment. Think it through. Problem arises. What do? You start planning a way to fix it. You start thinking about it. You start meditating on it. You start trying to come up with a solution. You reason this way. You reason that way. And all of these kinds of things so that you can fix the dilemma that you see is about to happen so that you can control it. And what has happened? That dilemma has already started controlling you. It's in your mind. It's in your head. It's controlling your thoughts. It's controlling your actions. It's taking your time. What you try to control actually is controlling you. That's why, brother and sister, when we let go of control and give things over to the Lord, by letting go of control of those kinds of things, we actually open the door of our heart and make room for God to come into our life and set us free from those things and bring us back to peace. When we let go, we get set free. And God can bring our hearts back to peace again, you see. So there's all kinds of things that we've talked about. Last week, we talked about the issue let's just be honest. Many people are experiencing, all of us are experiencing in one way or another, one degree or another. We are experiencing the consequences of the bad choices we've made in life. Yes, you are. I know you think you're not. You are. And if you're not now, you will be soon. Life is all about, do you understand? There is a principle that God gave us in the book of Genesis after the flood. Remember the great flood, Noah's flood, in the Bible, in the first few books of the Bible, and Noah gets off the boat, and God makes the promise of the bow in the sky, and this is the promise of the Lord. And then God makes this statement. He says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And I want you to understand, brother and sister, all of life works on the principle of seed time and harvest. That's why the Bible says, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You sow to the flesh and you'll reap destruction. You sow to the spirit and you'll reap life. All of life is on the principle of seed time and harvest. And we've all planted bad seed, okay? Seed of corruption. That's what we typically do. We plant that bad seed. We make wrong choices. We make poor choices, which become seeds that we're planting for a harvest in the future. And what most of us want to do, instead of making right choices so that we're not having to deal with bad consequences, most of us, what we want to do is we want to make poor choices, plant bad seed, and then pray the results go away. Pray there's no harvest. Pray those seeds will be corruptible and won't. It ain't happening, guys. Life is all about seed time and harvest. And if you make bad choices, there are bad consequences you're going to have to deal with in some way, shape, or form coming at you down the road. And then what do? We worry and we fret over the choices that we... Oh, not over the choices. We worry and fret over the consequences we're having to experience. And then we try to fix it because we're control freaks. We make the bad choices, experience the bad consequences, then try to control that, and then it controls you, and on and on and on life goes. And God says there's a better way. There's a better way. We can live a life of righteousness. We can make good choices. We can reap a good harvest in our future. And by making the right choices, we can experience the peace of God. What happened to David last week when he made the choice to commit adultery with Bathsheba? Then he had to make a choice to try to cover up that sin. And he winds up having another man put to death as a result of his sin of adultery. He winds up committing murder. Isn't that what we do? We make one mess and we try to fix it by making another mess. And we just keep going and going and going, and we dig a hole, and the hole just keeps getting deeper because we keep digging. Somebody said the number one rule of holes is when you find yourself in one, stop digging. But we keep digging because we think we can fill one hole by digging another. All you're doing is transferring dirt. That's all you're doing. And just making a bigger mess, see. But we can make good choices. we can make right choices. We can experience the peace of the Lord. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Peace is a fruit of living in God's kingdom, Romans 14:17. Paul says in Romans 14:17, "The kingdom of God is not fruit or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's the fruit of the kingdom working in your life. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22 tells us. Peace is God's gift to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. As children of God, God wants us to have the peace of the Lord. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, "The Lord gives strength to His children. He blesses His children with peace." And I'm going to just tell you something. It took me a long time to figure this out. I pray that all you people that are younger than I am will listen to me. I know you won't, but I'm going to say it anyway. I didn't listen to my teachers. We all have to learn by experience. I get that. But look, I have finally come to realize how great a blessing peace is in my heart and life. We think that money is going to solve everything. No, it's not. We think if I had a lot of money, I'd be happy. If I had money, I could finally get everything paid off and then I could be at peace. I could be at rest. No, listen. You got a lot of money. You know what money brings? It just brings more problems. It just brings more strife. Oh, they're different. I get that. Before you were wondering how you're going to pay the bill. The bills are paid. But now you're wondering, how am I going to protect this money and not lose it? And now you got a whole nother can of worms to deal with. No, listen. The thing, brother and sister, that will bring us true and lasting peace is the peace that God gives to us. The peace that God brings to us. We can't get peace from anything else because, listen, everything else is constantly changing. Everything else in the world is constantly changing. It's all temporary. When I was 18 years old, Leesville Road, this beautiful street we got out here, it was a lane and a half surface treated road way out in the country. Don't tell my kids this. This is where we used to come to race. It's right out here on that lane and a half gravel road out here. I mean, you had to... Oh, my kids are over here. I get it. Seriously, I mean, when you got this far out, you were way out in the country back when I was a kid. Things change constantly. The only thing that doesn't change is God Himself. And that's why He's the only thing we can count on and the only thing that we can know will always absolutely bring peace to our heart and to our life. And He wants to give that to us. He wants to give that to us as children of God. In Romans, in fact, I want to read this one for you just real quickly if I can find it from Romans chapter 15. Paul prays this as he's closing his letter to the Romans. Romans 15 verse 13 says, May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. In believing. Brother and sister, real peace comes by putting your faith in Almighty God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one unchangeable, the one absolute certain, the one thing we know we can always count on, who will always be there. He never changes. He is the only one that we can count on to bring peace to our hearts and lives. Making right choices was the number one thing that we said we needed to do if we're going to have peace. We're going to return to peace and recover the peace in our heart. I have just one other scripture from Psalms along those lines before I move on here. In Psalm 85, this is a curious passage of scripture. But it speaks a great truth to us in Psalm 85. And 85 and that's 84. Oh, here's 85. Verse 10. Psalm 85 verse 10 says this, "Loving kindness," or mercy, or Bible may say mercy, Mercy and truth have met each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What does that mean? Well, here it is, quite simply. A kiss, obviously, is an expression of affection and intimacy. And so when he says righteousness and peace have kissed each other, he is telling us that righteousness and peace are intimately related to one another. That if we truly want to have peace, we've got to live a life of righteousness. Because peace is the fruit of righteousness. Isaiah told us that last week. Twice he said, he tells us there is no peace for the wicked. But then in Isaiah 37 he said, but righteousness will produce peace. And so we cause turmoil in our life by making bad choices. We can bring peace to our life by making right choices. Again, one of those bad choices that we make is to try to control everything. And we wind up instead being controlled by what we think we're going to control. It just doesn't work that way. We lose our peace when we focus on the things of this world, which are temporary, rather than focusing ourselves, our minds, on spiritual things. Look with me at Isaiah. This is probably a familiar verse of scripture for you, but let's look at this short passage from Isaiah chapter 26. Again, making poor choices causes problems in our life. David told us in Psalm 32, we read it last week. David said that when I was living in sin, the sin that I was living in was eating me up on the inside. He's living a lie, having committed adultery and not confessing it, not repenting of it. And because of it, it was just eating him up on the inside. Poor David didn't have Tums. He just had to deal with the rotting of what was going on the inside until he came to the place of confession and repentance so that he could be restored to a place of peace with God. And we've got to come back to God. We've got to focus on the Lord. And brother and sister, you can't see this. God help us. We can't see this as just a nice little Sunday morning lesson that we heard in church one day. This is real life, guys. This is real life. And if we are constantly focused on the things of the world, our lives will constantly be in turmoil. And it's why we've got to focus on things beyond this world. And keep our minds and our hearts set on the Lord. Look at what he says in Isaiah chapter 26. He's talked about the day of the Lord, when God comes back and restores all things in the previous chapter. He says, in that day, verse 1 of Isaiah 26, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. Verse 3, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. Your translation may say, those that set their mind on the Lord, God will, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, is fixed on you. Okay? Your translation may something more along those lines. This translation used the word steadfast. Our mind needs to be steadfast, set on the Lord. Listen, guys, he's talking about living a life where we are continually in communion with God. Where our heart and our mind is constantly turned heavenly. And we're constantly looking to the Lord and for the Lord. We're not talking about just giving God an hour and a half glance on Sunday morning. We're talking about a life that is fixed on God and lives for the glory of the Lord. And he tells us in that verse of scripture, if a person will fix their mind on God, because you trust God and you fix your mind on God, God will give you perfect peace. Perfect peace, regardless of what you might be going through in your lifetime. Let me give you just a couple of things just quickly to close this out for today and this little two-part message that we're bringing today. Let me just give you a couple of things that we can do that if we've lost our peace, if the circumstances of life have become too difficult for us and we're into stress. Isn't it lovely the way that we come up with nice, gentle, soft words to cover up bad life choices and those kinds of things? For example, we call, in our culture today, we call adultery, we call that having an affair. Isn't that lovely? We call people who are homosexual, and by the way, God condemns that, I'm sorry. We call those who live a homosexual lifestyle, we say they are gay. Isn't that happy? Stress. It's just a nice way of saying you're worrying your guts out. You're full of anxiety. You're living in fear. We call it stress. God doesn't want us living that way. The Bible over, did you know somebody said this over 300 times the Bible says, don't fear. I think God's trying to say something. What do you think? 300 times, don't fear? Yeah, let's get the message. We don't have to fear. Don't worry. Be not anxious. Over and over and over in the scriptures. And understand, if God tells us not to do something, we can not do that thing. You understand that? God doesn't tell us things we can't do. I understand most of what he tells us we can't do in our own strength. But he gives us his strength. He gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do all the things that we think we can't, but he tells us to. And if we walk by the Spirit instead of the flesh, when God says don't fear, we don't have to fear. And God says don't worry, we don't have to worry. We can trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul understood that. And the Apostle Paul lived his life in a fearless way. Acts chapter 16 is the story of the Apostle Paul in a Philippian jail. Paul goes into the city of Philippi, preaches the gospel. A little demon-possessed girl is there. He delivers her and sets her free. You'd have thought people would have been happy about that. But the people who owned that little girl, she was making them a lot of money by the demon that was controlling her. So when the demon is gone, now their profit is gone, and they get upset at Paul. They take Paul, they seize him, they beat him within an inch of his life, and then they take him to jail and take him to the jailer and say, you keep an eye on him and do not let him get out. And so they throw him into maximum security. Paul didn't sit in jail wringing his hands, worrying about what's going to happen, fearful of what's going to happen to him. Watch Paul's response. Listen, I said a little while ago, we can't choose our circumstances. We can't control our circumstances. We don't get to choose most of our circumstances. But one thing you can choose, brother and sister, you can choose how you respond to the circumstances that you're going through. And look at Paul's response. Again, it's not a fleshly response. He's not worried. He's not fearful. He's not anxious of what's going to happen to him. Listen to what happens to him in Acts chapter 16. I could start at verse 22. It tells us about them being arrested, stripped, whipped, beaten, all of these things thrown into prison, maximum security. Verse 25, here's his response to all of that. He didn't try to fix it. He didn't try to scheme away. Hey, guys, we need to get together. We need to figure out how we're going to get out of here. Because if we don't get out of here, it's going to cost us our lives. None of that. No scheming, no plotting, no fixing, no worry, no anxiety. It says in verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. What are they doing? They're just worshiping the Lord. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the terrible circumstances, they're just worshiping God. They're just worshiping God. Brother and sister, worship is a wonderful way to refocus our mind and attention back on the Lord and to refocus us so that we regain the peace that the circumstances have stolen from our lives. He's worshiping God and singing praises to the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, when we worship God, we invite the presence of the Lord into the circumstances that we're dealing with so that God Himself can deal with those circumstances. And that's exactly what God does here. Paul doesn't have to do anything to get himself out of that prison, get himself out of those circumstances. He just worshiped God, and God did all the work. The Bible says that as they're worshiping the Lord, God sends an earthquake to that prison. It shakes, rattles, and rolls. The doors open up. The chains fall off. And if they want to, they can walk right out of that place. And God did that. God did that. They chose to stay for the salvation of the jailer and his family. But God did all of that, you see. When they chose to honor God in the midst of their circumstances, by worshiping the Lord. The children of Israel in captivity would worship the Lord to remind themselves of who God was and what God could do in their lives and to bring themselves out of despair and back to the place of peace. Psalm 42 is a psalm of captivity. It's a psalm that will say, and you'll, if you read down through there, it will say, the psalmist is actually talking to himself and he says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God and watch what He'll do in your life." That's a parish phrase, but it's the gist of what he said there. "Why so downcast, O my soul?" You know, sometimes when we get in despair and we get in depression, we need to just give ourselves a good talking to. And we just need to, tell ourselves, just get out of the pity party. Trust in God. Look to the Lord who can do anything. Begin to trust God again. And watch God bring you back to a place of peace as God ministers in your life. Worship is a simple way of bringing us back to the presence of the Lord where peace can come back into our heart in the presence of our lives. A second tip real quickly, a quality time studying and reading the Bible can bring you back to a place of peace. I love reading the Psalms just for that purpose. Just devotionally reading through the book of Psalms. Read Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." See who He is, what He thinks of you, what He wants to do for you, how He can take care of you. And let your heart come back to peace in the Lord as you read that. Psalm 46, "God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore I will not fear, though the earth be removed. And though everything collapse out from under me, I will trust in the Lord and I will stay in peace." And on and on and on we could read through the Psalms and through the New Testament and through the whole Bible. "If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I will never leave you or forsake you." And on and on and on, the promises of God can bring us back to a place of peace. Why do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, threatened by King Nebuchadnezzar with a fiery furnace if they don't bow the knee and worship at his golden statue? Why do you think they had no fear to face this great king who had the power to put him to death? They said, "King," he said, "if you don't worship me, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace." They said, "King, we don't care. Do what you will. God's taking care of us." Why do you think they felt that way? I'll tell you why they felt that way. 100 years before Daniel, there was another prophet, a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah would write in Isaiah chapter 43, "When you walk through the water, you won't drown. And when you pass through the fire, you won't burn. You won't even smell like smoke because I will be with you." And these guys knew what God had promised. So when they faced the fiery furnace, they didn't give a hoot what the king of Babylon could do. They knew what Almighty God could do, and that was all that mattered to them. And so they went through the fire, came out on the other side. They were not, the hair on their head wasn't singed. The clothes that they were wearing didn't smell like smoke. Nothing. Because they trusted in God. And God brought them to peace. Knowing your Bible. And studying the scripture. Not just a quick glance. Not just racing through a chapter to say you got through a chapter. But really committing your heart to the Bible. Listen to this. Psalm 119 verse 165 says this. Those who love the Word of God will experience great peace. It's the promise of the Lord. If we'll love His Word. Got one more passage to read very quickly if I might. This is familiar territory to you. And I'll cover it as quick as I can. From Philippians chapter 4. Let me read the whole passage and come back and make a few statements and we'll be done here. Philippians chapter 4. I'm giving you practical tips for finding peace in the midst of the chaos of the lives that we lead. There are things that we can do to help us regain the peace that the devil steals through the circumstances. He steals them through the circumstances. We can regain them through our relationship with God. He will keep you in perfect peace. If your mind is fixed on Him. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentle or humble spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Hey, he just said be anxious for nothing. That means you don't have to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Set your mind on these things of God, on these heavenly things. Dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. There's obviously several sermons in that passage. Let me give you real quickly what he's telling us in these verses of scripture. The cure for anxiety. Number one, be worshipful. Praise the Lord always. In the good times and in the bad times, you praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks, Paul would say to Thessalonians. In everything, give thanks. Always be worshipful. Number two, be humble, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit, your humble spirit, be humble. Be humble in those circumstances. And he goes on to say, the Lord is near. Put those things together. Be humble. And recognize the Lord is near. What's he saying? To be humble is to admit you can't deal with the circumstances yourself and you're going to need some help. And then be grateful that God is there to help you. Be humble. God's with you. Okay? So be worshipful. Be humble. Number three, be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be constant in prayer. It's what the Bible will teach us. Number four, be thankful. Be thankful. This is something the Lord has really been impressing on me in recent weeks, is the need for us as Christians to be thankful. Because I teach a lot about faith and I teach a lot about the promises of God. We're constantly looking for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. And I think sometimes we can get to the place as believers where we actually begin to feel entitled. As though maybe God owes us something. Please understand, brother and sister, that all of the promises that God has made to you in the Bible are still offers of grace. All of those promises that He's made to you, He doesn't owe a single one of them to you. You haven't earned them, okay? And so anything God ever does in our lives, we should be thankful for what God is doing there and not feel entitled like maybe God has to do something or owes us something in way, some way, shape, or form. Be worshipful. Be humble. Be prayerful. Be thankful. The next one is if we want to experience the peace of God. In verse 8, he tells us the things that to keep our minds set on the things of the Lord, the things that God has done. Remember his promises. Remember his faithfulness. Remember what he's done before. Remember his goodness. Remember that God has a plan for you. Whatever you're going through, God still has a plan for you that he desires to work out that'll be a blessing to you and a witness to others and will glorify him. God's working all things out for our good and for his glory. So we need to remember these things. Set our mind on all of these things. Regain our focus on the Lord and realize because of the promises, because of what he's doing, because of his goodness. Listen, no matter what you're going through today, brother and sister, I promise you this. God's got this. And not only does God have this, God has you. God has you. And just like those three children walking through the fire or Peter walking on water, God will deliver you and God will bring you through and God will give you victory. Ultimately, everything is going to be all right. Verse 9, hear this. He says in verse 9, practice these things. Watch this. Be a doer of the word. Can I just share one last thing real quickly with you today? I appreciate you being here. But again, if you're just here to listen to a lovely Sunday school lesson and just leave it in your seat when you get up to leave the building and you have no intention of doing what you've heard here this morning, what you've heard here this morning won't profit you anything. He says, practice these things. Jesus would say it this way. James would say it this way. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Be worshipful. Be prayerful. Be humble. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be these things. And you will experience the peace that the Bible tells us here passes all understanding. I like to say it this way. You will experience a peace that will blow your mind. It'll be so awesome. That's what God has in store for us as his children when we practice the word of God. Let's pray together. So, Father, as of now, we've been hearers, and I pray that you would help us from this moment on to be doers of the word, to make right choices, to let go of control, to be worshipers, to be prayers, to be those that are thankful, to be those that love your word and feed on it daily. Thank you, God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.